This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that dog was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No! No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. I bet if that puck was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back. And a few housekeeping issues. So we're actually planning ahead this time. We're going to have the writer for episode 6, the Ducks Gala, and the season finale on possibly in the next few weeks here. So if you have a quack question for him, now is the time to get it in. Twitter, Facebook, email, Discord, however you want to do it. Think about it, send it in, but don't think too long because it could be in a couple days here. So by the time you're listening to this, it might already happen. So get them in as soon as you listen. Pause the podcast right now. Write your question in and then come back and listen to the podcast again. Secondly, I am kind of losing my voice, so that's why I'm a little scratchy. I don't know what's happening, but I'm trying to make it through.
Too much Halloween candy.
Exactly. My mouth is coated in sugar. So
did you go trick-or-treating on Monday or Sunday?
We did, yes. We did with my daughter. She liked the candy, did not like interacting with neighbors, but you got to get one without the other, so.
You took your daughter trick-or-treating, but you wouldn't come party with us on Saturday, huh?
That's true.
Come party with the adults, huh?
No excuses. No excuses. That just was a loss for me. So my apologies to Tommy, Kevin, and all the Quacklights out there, honestly.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. We can continue now.
All right. Let's move on. Let's check in on some Kin Token. We haven't checked in a while. December 2016. So we're coming up on 5 years now. Kevin bought $300 worth of Kin Token, coming to the 5-year marker on his return on investment. Kevin, where are we right now?
We are sitting at $46.41.
Okay. So we're down. I think it was roughly $340 actually that you purchased. So we're down about $300 in 5 years. Not great. But
it's been worse, though. It's been worse before.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's move on.
I have a quick question. Okay. So, Kevin, when you purchased it, at any point, like in like the 2 days after, did it ever go up?
It might have for a little while. It was like it was kind of during the craze, the original craze of Dogecoin, I think. Like right when that first came out, or no, it was CryptoKitties. I think was what was driving it. So it might have fluctuated up a little bit, but I don't think it took off the way we were expecting, obviously.
Obviously. All right. Let's move on to the topic at hand here. Another game changers look ahead here. So a few weeks ago, we looked at Charlie Conway. If we had one episode to put Charlie Conway into season 2 of Game Changers, how would it happen? We said that Charlie was back in town because Casey was sick, ends up running into Alex or Evan, has to give Evan some advice. He gives Evan bad advice, but you know, it all comes around in the end. And he makes up with Bombay. So let's move on to the other.
Somehow
person.
We spoke for like 40 minutes about that 11 second pitch. So it is worth listening to for those of you who haven't listened to it.
Yeah, we get deep into it. We get into the details there. I'm just trying to gloss over it because we got to save a lot of time for this next one. who people really want to know. I think between Charlie Conway and then Russ Tyler is the other person people really want to see. Seen some like Dean Portmans out there and stuff like that, but really, I guess the two most famous, the two with the biggest clout, would be Charlie Conway and Russ Tyler, aka Kenan Thompson. So Kenan, he has been on the record saying he wanted to be in season one. It was a scheduling issue. Obviously, he's on Saturday Night Live. He's got his sitcom, Kenan. So he's also still on Saturday Night Live, and his sitcom has been renewed for season two. So first of all, just what is your confidence that we get a Kenan Thompson / Russ Tyler appearance in season two here?
I would say pretty low confidence. I mean, that's a pretty tough slate to weed through. I guess it all just kind of depends on the timing of when they're filming and when he's not for his other commitments. But I would say pretty low confidence, especially when you factor in COVID still being a wild card in there.
Yeah, I could see that. And he's not like Joshua Jackson. Like Charlie Conway was the main character. It's like a big pull for him to put in. Russ Tyler was in it, but he wasn't like a main portion of the three films. He was in two and then like some of three, but he wasn't really too much of a factor in three. So
the only thing I could see is them trying really hard just because it would be a good get. Like in terms of fame level, he would bring a lot to the table.
He's the most famous duck, I believe, in terms of like current stage of his career. I think Joshua Jackson was obviously like in the 90s, early 2000s, but I think Kenan is the most famous.
Joshua Jackson's having a bit of a renaissance at this point in his career too, but he might be catching up with Kenan a little bit, but I'd probably agree with that there.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more optimistic than Kevin. I think just because, you know, I feel like Kenan and Brill, from what Brill has told us, that like they've stayed close and everything. And, you know, even if it's like almost like a Zoom cameo or where it's like very obviously a green screen or something like that, I feel like we would get something. And, you know, this is kind of the reason why we're doing this exercise is like if you get basically the person on set for one weekend, you can only put them in one episode. How do we put it together? And what's that arc that we want to get? So I'm more confident in Kenan. I think it'll happen. And that might just be wishful thinking, but...
you think it'll happen season two?
That's a good question. I'm going to say yes.
Wow. I would say I'm like 50-50. Like I would not be surprised to see him there, but I would not be surprised if he doesn't show up. So... I'll leave it at a coin flip.
Are we counting if like they see like a billboard with his face on it or something?
He's got to be in it. He's got to be like at least walking by or something. Like
it needs to be him in an episode, not a clip. I think a billboard is interesting though, because and we can get into this, but I think that we need to count it as like full like unique words being spoken.
Yeah. Yeah, billboard or like a commercial or something like that that they're watching on TV. I could see a little nod there for sure. But let's go. So some backstory here. So 5 years ago on our first Megapod with Steve Brill, he said he thought Russ Tyler went and ran like a sporting goods store, took over that sort of operation, made it big. And then recently, he said that Russ Tyler, he thinks, sort of has followed in Kenan's footsteps, was an actor, went on Saturday Night Live. So a few different threads for us to play off of if we want. But any early indications of how we can work Kenan Thompson, a.k.a. Russ Tyler, I guess, into some sort of the plot in season two?
Well, if we think that Russ Tyler is on some kind of like Saturday Night Live-esque show on it, because I don't know if they could call it Saturday Night Live. Probably not. Call it, you know, Friday Morning Extreme. I don't know. we'll want to figure out the name of that show. I think they do that because like maybe Nick has like aspirations for Hollywood or something like that. Or maybe a new character is like kind of like a bit of a clown and maybe isn't focusing on his hockey. And it's like, look, you can be a, like a clown and also be a hockey player. Look at Russ Tyler or something like that. But I kind of like that. And I figure that would be good for like Keenan would, the actor himself might be on board unless he's like, no, fuck that. I want to be like a degenerate gambler. I don't know.
I will also kind of along that same thread. If they're not able to get Keenan in person, I do think there's an avenue where it's like Nick interviewing him for the podcast or something.
That's good. Yeah. So Nick is our entry point in here. That makes sense. Yeah. And so, yeah, Keenan, I guess we're assuming Keenan's on Saturday Night Live. That's like the thread we're taking.
I think so. We have to assume that he can't call it Saturday Night Live.
Right. Friday morning like, extreme or yeah, Friday morning like, taped.
The weekend show. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So Keenan, or sorry, Russ. My bad. Sorry to Russ Tyler. Russ Tyler's on the weekend show extreme Friday morning taped. And he is he back in town for anything or does is Nick struggling and Bombay calls him back? Like, how does Russ come back into the fold here? Because we assume he's away in New York or Los Angeles or wherever the show is taped.
So I'm wondering if, and obviously a lot of it depends on the overall arc of season two, but if there's some kind of like travel or like tournament being involved, is it where in New York or LA, wherever this fictional show is being filmed, and then like Nick runs into him and gets like advice from him, be like, hey, you're Russ Tyler, blah, blah, blah. And maybe Russ Tyler is known for like his hockey impressions. And so that's how he's still kind of like you see in the episode, Nick is watching like a YouTube video where Russ is doing a bunch of his like NHL impressions. And he like, and it's an interview where he talks about, oh yeah, I got all this from, you know, my time with the Mighty Ducks. And Nick is so inspired and he runs into him in New York or something like that. So maybe that's where it comes into play is it's gotta be like on, it's not going to be in Minneapolis. I feel.
Maybe it's like something, I don't know exactly how this would happen, but like the Ducks somehow get interviewed, the new Ducks get interviewed for like Good Morning America or something. And then that's like Russ is there or they like surprise them or something. Maybe something like that too might make sense. I also like the idea of it possibly being like Russ's kid is like heckling them at some point or something. I think that would be good. That would be a funny like through line, but I don't know if those are kind of two other options as well.
I really like that. And, or maybe it's like, he's watching the Don't Bothers and Russ's kid is heckling and Russ is just like nodding in approval.
Yeah. I do like this tournament angle. Brill has talked about wanting to go to like Europe and essentially do an international tournament a la the Goodwill Games at some point. So I could see them playing. Yeah. They're the state champs. You know, national, they're playing like a national schedule or something, or it's a showcase tournament in New York. And I guess they have Bombay on and Bombay invites the team to this show where they first run into Russ Tyler and they think it's just a thing. And then Nick maybe runs into him later again as Nick, I guess, struggles with some sort of, I guess, yeah, he could struggle with sort of wanting to be comedic while also wanting to be a hockey player.
So I think Nick maybe is like wanting to branch out of his podcast and like, hey, you know, I'm funny. Everyone says I'm funny. And he tries to be like a stand-up comedian and he bombs really bad. And then he gets like the good advice from like Russ Tyler, who's like, I did a bit like at Eden Hall and I got like they almost expelled me with how unfunny it was or something like that. Like and so at the end, and so he like does like a really good roast of Bombay or something, or maybe he like Nick tries to be an insult comic and it just doesn't go well and he just pisses off all his teammates. And Russ is like, you're going too hard, you know, you got to tease, but in a loving manner. And so he helps him write some jokes.
Okay. So is this a main plot point? Like, are we involved with Russ a lot or does he have like two or three scenes and then it's really a Nick story that comes around in the end?
two or three scenes, and I think this is like a B plot to one of the episodes, or it's like built up in the first couple of episodes where Nick's wanting to pursue stand-up, and then in like episode three he does it and he just bombs, or he's way too mean, and then he like kind of gets the advice at the end of the episode.
I like
this. And then later on in the season, like season 9 or 10, like he kind of uses the comedy to get the ducks out of a jam or something like that. Russ is only in like season 3 or episode 3.
Mm. So we got a long.
Maybe also teaches them the knuckle puck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the knuckle puck will have to come in at some point. Maybe that's the end of this episode, episode 3. So.
Ooh, well, maybe his sketch comedy show is just called The Knuckle Puck.
Russ Tyler's. Yeah. Oh, okay. So Nick is a big fan, obviously. So just to recap here, the Ducks are traveling to a showcase tournament in New York of some, yeah, we'll say New York. And I guess, how do they get on Good Morning America? Is it just Bombay? Like they want to interview Bombay, like, oh, famous hockey coach now coaching kids. He's on the show. They interview him and he brings his Ducks out.
And I think maybe there's enough of like a human interest piece right to it too, where it's like the way that last season ended and they kind of took over the name and, you know, that kind
like
of stuff.
Like the Minnesota Miracle Man is back.
Yeah.
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 All right. Yeah. So it's like a whole thing. And then Bombay brings out his Ducks and then they surprise Bombay and everybody with Russ Tyler, famous actor who also played with Bombay. And then they go their separate ways. And then later on, Nick is, you know, trying to branch out. He's in New York trying to make his like big push here in the comedy / acting world, running around, ends up running into Russ Tyler, and Russ gives him some advice here. And I guess Nick goes back to his team here, and then things are all cheery at this point.
Yeah, I think the episode ends with him like winning them back, and then the rest of the, like the series he has like a good one-liner in each episode, and then Disney, feel free to use this, you guys can post something on your own YouTube channel.
Marvel, is this of a Marvel thing?
No, this is a Nick stand-up set is going to be like a 20-minute thing on YouTube to help the show market.
Yeah, additional content. I like this. All right, yeah, so again, trying to keep the threads straight here. So after the show, Nick is like, oh, I'm a comedian, pisses off his entire team with his poorly timed jokes. That's when he goes out.
Can I just say this episode is absurd. like this is even more absurd than some of Tommy's like Marvel like tie-ins.
Said that because like Evan was just like, give me more Marvel. It's like when you're given 3 seconds to prepare.
Yeah. Okay. So I like this. No, this is a good B plot, Kevin. I don't know where you're
I'm sorry it doesn't involve a drug overdose by the checkmates, Kevin, which I know where you'd rather prefer.
Yeah. So Nick has pissed everybody off, is out in New York, like says, fine, I'm gonna be a comedian on my own, runs into Russ Tyler. He's like, hey, you're the kid I saw at the Good Morning America, whatever. And then he's like, yeah, my teammates hate me because like I tried to be you. And Russ is like, nah, man, that's not me. And then like gives him some heckling advice. Gives him some heckling advice and whatnot.
Maybe they go to a Rangers game and he's like, oh, this is how you heckle properly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
cameos in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. We need some cameos. We need some NHL cameos. So yeah, we get those. Nick comes back, realizes his thing, directs his insults at the other team, and, you know, apologizes to his team. At the end, I guess, does Russ Tyler come to a practice that Bombay calls him to or something like that, where he can show off his knuckle puck? Do we need the knuckle puck in there at the end?
I think you have to have the knuckle puck at some point. And I don't think it can just be like the name of his show. I think it has to, you have to like physically see it.
Well, I think what you could do is you can like, after Russ is done giving Nick his advice, he's like, one more thing, you know, like, have you heard of my knuckle puck? And then it cuts. And then one of the things is Nick scores the game-winning goal in that game with a knuckle puck, and so the kids like him even more for that.
Yeah, that's it. That's how you end it. Nick scoring with the knuckle puck, and then you could have the knuckle puck live on. Like, the knuckle puck could pop up in a few episodes later. But
and then in season 3, Russ Tyler takes out a big lawsuit against Nick
for
stealing his copyrighted move. And it gets really dark from there.
Yeah. Season 3 is like a courtroom drama.
Yeah, it's just 10 episodes courtroom drama. a lot of discovery phase in there.
Yeah. Everybody loves a good discovery phase.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We get Joe Pesci to reprise as Mike Tennyson Benny.
I think we've solved this, unless we have anything we need to add here. But I think we're 2 for 2 in terms of.
Well, here's the question. So do we want like a kid with Russ who's like also like trash talking, like Russ's kid?
Yeah. I mean,
it also might be a way to introduce another character as well.
Like, and then
maybe like he like it's his son, and then he like his son really wants to go play with them, and he like goes and lives with Bombay or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have two options where he joins the team, or he's like an opposing player on one of the teams the Ducks play, and then there's a whole like trash talk battle between the two. So yeah, two options there. I do like, it would be nice to, you know, have Russ Tyler's son, but is that like too much? Is that violating our rule of like he can only be in one episode?
I don't know. I think the idea of getting in Russ Tyler's kid onto the Ducks is really good. So it might be something like, you know, in a couple episodes, Nick gets hurt and he like makes a phone call.
Ooh,
like, hey, I got the replacement. Harkening back to D2.
Yeah. Now that's good. Where, yeah, he's an opposing player. He kind of steals some scenes. Everybody likes him. And then you think you're never going to hear from him again. Player gets hurt. They call him in because he's always wanted to go. I guess he would have to find a way to get to Minnesota. What?
His dad's rich.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They send him to boarding school or something, or he's in like Eden Hall Middle School, and or I guess maybe they're moving to high school at this point. Either way,
I mean, maybe Keenan's ex-wife still lives in.
Oh,
Minnesota.
There you go.
At Eden Hall or something, and then
yeah, that's convenient. He just moves in with the mom. Perfect. I love it. I love it. All right. It would make sense. Like, especially if Russ Tyler met this girl maybe at Eden Hall, or he went to college in Minnesota and then, you know, they split up and she went back home with her family.
Yeah. I think it's like he went to Minnesota and like, that's always kind of part of his like charm is like, here's a guy from LA. He ended up going to Minnesota, like kind of developed like a wholesome sense of humor or something.
Yeah. I like this a lot. All right. I think we solved this. This one is good. Despite what Kevin says, I'm down for it. Let's move on here. Let's move on to the quack question. You ask us questions on Twitter, through Facebook, through email, on Discord. We pick the best ones, try to answer them. Kevin, what is the quack question today?
This week's quack question, we had to dig pretty far back, so I'm going to put out a quick call for I feel like we need more game changers quack questions. We're talking a lot about game changers these days, so get those questions in for us. But this one, we're going all the way back to D2. This comes from Cats Fan in Ohio on the Discord, I think. Yeah. The question is, I think the coach of Trinidad and Tobago is underrated. That country has one ice rink. Considering how much of a disadvantage he is at, his team still scored multiple goals against the gold medal winners. Plus, they had Belafonte, who had some slick moves. Who would have taught him some of those things? Coach, thoughts? It's kind of a more of a statement than a question, I think. But we'll go with it.
Yeah, fair enough. So we've talked a little bit about Trinidad and Tobago. Like, how did they qualify? We think it was sort of a regional type deal, whether you had, you know, like kind of World Cup, like where you have certain number of slots for certain regions and they end up qualifying. The question I like here is, once they got there, they did have a little bit of success. Belafonte seemed to be
a legitimate player, and they did score two goals against Team USA. But I guess you could argue also that, you know, Team USA was up. So, like, how much did they really care about these two goals? This was, like, garbage time points. So, I can see both sides.
Yeah, and, like, at the same time, we know that Goldberg was still playing goalie, you know.
That's true.
And why was he still in the goal at that point? Like, that's the time to rest your starters, but you did not rest your starter and goalie. So I think it also goes to show that Bombay probably still had his starters in there.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't just playing, like, you know, Kenny Wu or whatever, or some of the kind of like one trick ponies. It wasn't like Fulton and Kenny on the same line. So I think that's a legitimate point. I think in hockey, it's like you can be dominated and it's very difficult to get a quality shot. And so it's clear that they got a couple. So were they actually making chances all game? And was that their strategy to kind of like, hey, we're actually going to try to play the same type of hockey that Team USA does? Clearly didn't work. But what was the final score? 9-2 or something?
Yeah, I think it was 9-2. It might have been 9-1. I'll put it in the show notes. But
9-2 and 9-1 are going to be a little bit different, I suppose. Because we did see them score the late goal. But it was against Goldberg, who you could argue is the goalie of the tournament.
Yeah. I think the question on Trinidad and Tobago's coach and his ability really comes down to Belafonte. Like, is he like a generational player for Trinidad and Tobago? And he's just way better than everybody else. And the coach didn't do anything, or did the coach teach him and develop him into this player from a guy who's pretty good to being a legitimate junior Goodwill Games player?
I think maybe generational player, and they just wrote him to get to the Goodwill Games. It's like he's the one. And I would love to see Belafonte in Game Changers season 2 in some capacity as a coach of another team, or like, hey, this is like, you know, this veteran NHL player, you know, who came from a different background.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to some of the writers and see if they can get Belafonte in there.
Yeah, that would be a deep cut to throw Belafonte.
Maybe a foreign exchange student situation, maybe with his son or something. I know we're going a lot with our son or daughter.
Yeah, try to get him on the team too. I would love Belafonte to join the Ducks.
Belafonte's daughter joins because he's like, I need to get the best coach in the world.
Right.
And that's Bombay. So we're going to move to Minnesota and you're going to play for the Minnesota Miracle Man.
Right. Because he feels like his career was cut short based on where he lived. Like, he feels like he could have been, you know, a star in the NHL, but he didn't have the coaching. He didn't have the ability. He sees this potential in his daughter and says, hey, we got to move to where, you know, this is the land of hockey. We got to move. And then they join the Ducks. Belafonte's there. To go back to the question, I guess we're saying no. The Trinidad and Tobago coach is not underrated. It was really just Belafonte carrying the squad.
I do want to do one thing, and I shout out to the Trinidad coach for how enthusiastic he was about the goal. The game was over. He treated that like you'd treat, you know, the game winner. So I think he was very much encouraging. And so maybe Belafonte did move to the U.S. and have like a nice college career. And so now he's settled. Maybe he's a lawyer. He just moved to the law firm. He's like, I finally got the transfer I wanted to go now that Bombay's coaching again. So I like to think that the coach pushed him to maybe go to the U.S. for college, and Belafonte played some college hockey.
I think the only way we can definitively answer the coach question is if they ever do one of these tournaments in Game Changers and Trinidad and Tobago is there again and it's the same coach and he's sustained this level of success.
Yeah,
that's like really they win the every way we can answer it. Every Caribbean hockey tournament, they're winning it.
Yeah,
junior level.
That's a great point. Like, we have no reference about what happened. Is this like a one-time thing, or is this, you know, sustained excellence? And this was just the start. Belafonte was just the start of some great players to come out of Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, because they very well could have just like won a really bad qualifying region.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah, I'm not sure
the tournament.
Central America Caribbean hockey is that strong. So maybe they won that regional and then they had to play like a playoff against like Japan or something like that, and they won thanks to Belafonte.
Yeah, so I guess TBD, but we're saying maybe not just because they had Belafonte, but like he wasn't a negative on Trinidad and Tobago. He would just, you know, wasn't, you know, a tactician and really like won them games. It was really Belafonte. So I guess we're going with properly rated, with a caveat being we could bump him up depending on, you know, if and when we see Trinidad and Tobago again. But all right, good question. I liked it. I wasn't sure where we were going to go with that, but we got deep. I'm now rooting for Belafonte to show up in season 2, 3, and 4 of Mighty Ducks Game Changers. For us, thequackattack.com, go there, contact us at quackattackpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quackattackpod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars. Tell us how you want to see Belafonte in Mighty Ducks Game Changers. And real quick, for our horror movie, the name of our horror movie, it was a close vote. So Duck Hunter 4, Quack to the Future, narrowly beat out Duck Hunter Back for More, falling behind them Duck Hunter Before and After, and then Duck Hunter Down for More. So, I mean, it's our movie, so we can really name it, but do you want Duck Hunter 4, Quack to the Future, or Duck Hunter Back for More?
I think Quack to the Future. I think that also sets up the time aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'd be in any legal trouble.
Probably not.
No.
It's a whole different word.
Yeah.
It's a whole different word. But I do want to, Mike, can you give a nice duck call to the person who came up with the name for 5?
Yes. Let me pull up 5. So this is Chris. Chris says, if we're taking early thoughts for the 5th installment, Duck Hunter 5, The Dying V.
I love that.
So duck call to Chris for that. That sounded more like a kazoo than a duck call, but it is what it is. I don't know what happened to my duck call. Anyway, that's it for us. Remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Back. Ain't no turning back. Got to be.